This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. A warm welcome to each of you from Christian Crusaders Internet and Radio Ministry. After Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River and commissioned into service by his heavenly Father, he immediately stepped into a dark, demonic world in battle with Satan. Jesus' world was not unlike our own, yet he knew what his challenges would be for the days to come, and he willingly chose to face them out of love for us. Stay with us as we talk about the basis for the hope we have as we live out our life in these desperate days.
Sometimes when we see what's going on in this world of ours, it can be discouraging for us. And so we ask, what kind of world are we living in anyway? We're going to look at some answers to that question in our message for today, and I hope you'll stay with us. We begin in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for stepping into our world to rescue us. As we reflect upon your holy word today, we ask that you would come alongside of us and encourage us with the good news of Jesus. It's in his name that we ask this. Amen. Our reading for today is taken from Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove Jesus out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." Dear friends, an acquaintance of mine told me a number of months ago that he was just going to not watch the news anymore because it was too upsetting and was ruining his day. We are sometimes taken aback as we observe what goes on in our world. We open up our newspapers or turn on the news and we see violence and hatred and racism and opioid addictions, suicides, immorality, self-centeredness, crooked politics, calamities, tragedies, and injustice. And the list goes on and on. It's a little overwhelming. We might even go so far as to look inside of ourselves, and there we also discover that we are a problem. I remember a story I read a while back about G.K. Chesterton, that great Christian writer. The newspaper had written a question, "What's wrong with this world in which we live?" And he wrote back to letter to the editor. He said, "Dear sirs, I am," signed G.K. Chesterton. Well, we ask with a sense of disappointment and belief sometimes, what kind of a world are we living in? Our scripture reading for today offers some valuable insights. In a rather subtle way, it describes the kind of world that greeted Jesus as he began his ministry. When Jesus stepped out of the Jordan River after being baptized by John the Baptist and commissioned into service by his heavenly Father, we see him, first of all, stepping into a dark, demonic world. We observe him in battle right off the bat with the prince of darkness, Satan, out in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan, who sought to undo him, to derail him from completing his mission. Satan and his minions saw Jesus as the divine invader. Later in the chapter, we see the demons cry out, "We know who you are, Jesus. You're the Holy One of God." And even a little while later, when Jesus is accused of being Beelzebul, Satan, Jesus referred to himself as the strong man who came to plunder Satan's house. And Satan keeps attacking him throughout the gospel, even using Jesus' disciples to stop his mission to the cross. When Peter says, you don't have to go to the cross, Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. You are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things, selfish things. I'm reminded of the Christian apologist C.S. Lewis quote on this subject. He says, there is no neutral ground in the universe. Every inch is claimed by God and counterclaimed by Satan. So first off, we see Jesus stepping into a dark, demonic world. Next, we see Jesus stepping into a hostile world. It's hostile to God. How can we say that? You just need to look at verse 14. It reads, now after John was arrested, meaning John the Baptist, it would be unwise for us to just zip by that statement without giving it some thought and reflection. Jesus hears that John the Baptist, this man of God, chosen by God for his ministry, was arrested by the hostile powers that be, namely King Herod, for questioning the king's character and bringing to light the king's sinfulness in his marriage, for pointing to one greater than himself that was to come and save Israel. Later on, Herod would have John beheaded after a seductive dance by a stepdaughter before her drunken stepfather, who said, ask me for anything and it's yours. She said, bring me the head of John the Baptist. And that he did. Such evil. And this little statement reminds us of worldly powers that seek to control people for personal gain and are threatened when their power and authority and integrity is called into question, even in the name of God. They'll silence that voice. They silence John. In this assertion about John's arrest, by the way, there is some anticipation of the fate of this greater one to come that he preached about, meaning Jesus. It's almost like the faint rumblings of a threatening storm ahead. The same is going to happen to Jesus. And yet, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God, knowing full well what kind of a world he was facing. He knew what lay ahead. This world would be unkind and hostile towards him. Ahead of him lay rejection and cruelty and opposition and conspiracy and disappointment and unfaithfulness and loneliness and a cross. In fact, three times Jesus would tell his disciples this horrible prediction about how it was all going to end for him. That's the kind of world into which Jesus stepped after his baptism and his commissioning. It could be dark, hostile, rejecting, violent, self-serving, confused, mixed up, blind, and hurting. Not all that different from our own. And yet, after John was arrested, Jesus came. He came proclaiming the good news of God. His message was simply this, that God had not abandoned his sin-sick world, but was now going to rescue it. His kingdom, his rule over this world was now breaking in through Jesus. God's about to do something big. Repent and believe. And Jesus would suffer and be rejected and die a cruel death on a cross and then rise victoriously again. It was a dark world, a demonic world, a hostile world into which Jesus stepped. And yet he came. Don't you find his actions here even a little amazing and courageous and heroic. I mean, the Apostle Paul did. Listen to his words in Romans. For while we were still weak, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, while we were still enemies, Christ died for us. And there's the first answer to our question that was asked in the beginning of this message. What kind of a world are we living in? Yes, it can be dark and sinful, as we've seen, but it is also a loved world. That's what is behind our Savior's first step into the battle in our text today. What's behind it is love. Sacrificial, selfless love. John tells us in his gospel, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And again we have Paul saying, while we were still enemies, Christ came and died for us. Jesus came after the arrest of John, motivated by love for the world. A powerful example of sacrificial love is described by Ernest Gordon in his book about World War II, Through the River Kwai is the name of it. A group of British soldiers taken prisoner by the Japanese were working on a railroad, and at the end of the day, the tools were counted, and the Japanese guard announced that one of the shovels was missing. He strode back and forth in front of the prisoners, charging that the shovel had been stolen by one of them and sold to the Thais. He demanded that the guilty man step forward and admit his crime. However, no one did. The guard yelled that he was going to kill them all. He pulled back the bolt on his gun and pushed it forward again, loading the gun, and aimed at the first man in the lineup. At that moment, a young Scottish soldier stepped forward, stood stiffly at attention, and said, "I did it." The guard kicked the soldier in the shin, spit in his face. The young Scotsman made no sound. Then the guard lifted his rifle by the barrel end and, using it like a sledgehammer, came down on the soldier's skull. He slumped to the ground under the blow's fatal impact. His fellow prisoners picked up their comrade's body and carried him back to camp. Later, when the shovels were recounted at the guardhouse, not one was missing. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends, John's Gospel tells us. What if the young Scotsman had not stepped forward? Would there have been a bloodbath? The punches of evil had humanity reeling and going down for the full count, but at the right moment, Jesus stepped into the ring and made it his fight. What if he had not been there? But the good news is, he was. He was there because he loved us. And at the bottom line of this passage is another truth that can be our comfort and strength. And it's this. Not only is this a loved world, this is God's world and no one else's. As Jesus came proclaiming, the time is fulfilled. You know, God's in charge of history. God has acted to reconcile his world to himself that he created. He was going to do that through his son, Jesus Christ. And in the end of the gospel story, who wins the battle? Jesus Christ. There is a resurrection victory. A proclamation of sorts that this is my Father's world. It's like the hymn says, this is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. That is our good news, our comfort and our strength. He holds this world in the palm of his hand, and nothing is going to snatch that world away from him. The victory has been won. Sure, there may still be evil and violence and all kinds of threatening actions around us, but let us remember that now we are living in the midst of what you might call the mop-up operations. The battle continues. And just as he said, in this world you will have tribulation. And then he went on to say, but fear not, I have overcome the world. Christ is Lord, the one who went into action after John was arrested, went out of love for you and me, for this whole world. He won the victory. He accomplished his mission. And he has promised that at the end of history, he will appear again in glory and majesty and claim it as his own forever and ever. That is the kind of world in which we live. It's God's world. It's a loved world. And now what are we to do with these two truths, that this is a loved world and it's God's world? Two things. First, act on what our text tells us today. As Jesus announces God's drawing near, he says, in light of this news, repent and believe the good news of God. To repent means a radical conversion of sorts, turning away from all that is contrary to God and surrendering your life to him. He gets your allegiance from this day forward. And believing implies a radical confidence in him, an unconditional turning towards God's gospel in complete trust, ultimately trusting Jesus Christ for life, life eternal. And the promise is this, my dear friends, you will be saved and forgiven and begin an eternal life and belong to him forever. And next, as followers of Jesus Christ, let us go on to be of good courage and not despair over the state of affairs in our world. We know the end of the story. When all is said and done, Jesus wins. He's the winner, and so are those who trust in him, who are his own. I may not know what the future holds, but I know the one who holds the future. I love these words from the book of Romans that Paul gave us, and I would challenge you today to begin to memorize them and keep them in your hearts, then pull them out in times of discouragement. They read as follows: who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's our good news for today. Believe it, trust it, live it. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the words of reassurance that tell us that you love this world and that it's yours. You know how easily we fall prey to doubt and anxiety and despair. So we ask, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would shape and mold us into confident disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, and within you to give you his peace. Amen.
You have been listening to the ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message will remind you that as we face the trials and sorrows of this world, we can be of good courage and not despair, for we know the end of the story. When all is said and done, Jesus wins. He is the winner. A memorial gift is a meaningful way to remember a loved one. These gifts can be given in any amount to commemorate the life of someone special, while furthering the mission of Christian Crusaders to proclaim the gospel. Honorarium gifts can also be a thoughtful way to celebrate someone still in your life. Send your memorial and honorarium gifts to Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. We invite you to tell a friend, relative, or neighbor about Christian Crusaders. Those who travel outside our broadcast areas can listen anytime on ChristianCrusaders.org. Call our office anytime to request that sermon copies be sent to a particular individual. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-693-2484. By reaching out to others with the Word, we help share the light of the Lord with those who walk in darkness. We are happy you chose to worship with us this day, and we invite you to join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota, and speaker on Christian Crusaders, now in its 82nd year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.